Okay. Request name. Call continuation. Well, hello, Cheryl. I'm glad you checked in. I'll be starting in just a couple of minutes.
I'm gonna mute myself, Ma.
Okay.
And then you'll unmute when you're ready.
Okay. Cheryl.
Hi.
Hi. While we're waiting a couple of minutes, if you want, you can look at Genesis, the end of 7 and the first part of Genesis 8, chapter 8.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm going to mute you back and wait a couple more minutes. I give 5 minutes leeway so for everyone to get on, so I got about 2-3 minutes to go. Okay?
Okie doke.
And if you have a question while we're waiting, just press star 5.
Okay.
Okay.
It's 5-star, not star 5.
Oh, I'm sorry. 5-star. I got it right here in front of me.
Very good. Okay.
I'm a backwards person. Welcome, Sharon. Glad to see you here. We'll start in just another minute or two. And if you want to look at your Bible, you can look at the end of chapter 7 in Genesis and the first part of 8. Okay, we have a little less than about 30, 40 seconds, and we're going to be starting. I welcome you all back for the fall so we can get in the groove of doing this on Thursdays. If, for instance, you want to do it Tuesday rather than Thursday, just let me know and we'll see what other date, you know, we could do a Tuesday or whatever date the majority wants to meet. This time, hopefully, we're going to be doing one day a week instead of two, unless we have enough people who need it and want it for 2 days. I welcome you back. I'm happy to start back. I sort of missed it, and so I'm glad we're coming back together. I want to make sure that you can all hear me, so we want to do sound check to make sure you're hearing what I'm saying. So when we do the sound check, you just press 5-star, and then I'll know you. I'll unmute you or put you back to being mute. So if you can hear me, press 5-star. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, then we're almost ready to get going. I want to take a little time tonight to try to refresh us instead of going forward without a recap and those who may have missed some of the lessons before. You do know that if you have a question or a comment, you want to make, you just press 5-star and then I will unmute you and you can ask your question or give us your comment. And then we go on from that, I'll mute you back. So as we all have questions and that. And don't be afraid to ask anything or make any comment that comes to you, because this is how we all learn. I learned so much last time just from your questions and your concerns and that. So I intend for this to be the same way that we continue to learn and grow together. So last time we were talking about the beginning when God created everything. And I just want to do a simple recap just so you can see as God continues to say and do the same thing. We did our arcs and we learned what God did in the life of Noah and his family. So I want to just bring that up and ask a couple of questions to get us started. From the beginning in Genesis 1, what was the most important thing we learned? Anybody? From Genesis 1. And the reason I'm asking this, because we're going to see it show up again. I'm going to unmute you. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to have our prayer to start with. And I have it right on my list. So perhaps we can have prayer. Forgive me. I got to get back into the groove of this. Kelly, would you give us prayer, please? I think you can hear me. Kelly?
Okay. Father God, we thank you for keeping us all throughout the summer and bringing us back here to this place so that we can study your word. We ask that you would be with us and that your Holy Spirit would be present, guiding us and helping us to understand what it is that you are speaking to us in this season. Be with Reverend Abernathy. Be with all of us as we learn together. We thank you and we love you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you. If I forget things tonight and don't say them just right, just say it to me. Just raise your hand and let me know, because okay. I have to get back in that mindset. I prayed before I came in, and then I forgot that I wanted to have it with all of us, because we do have other people to pray for, too, when we close. So, okay, Kelly, I'm going to mute you back unless you have a comment.
I did. I raised my hand about the question that you asked.
Okay, go ahead.
So I was thinking it is what we learned that we kind of saw throughout was that we were created in the image of God.
Okay, we were created in God's image. And what did he tell us to do? Anybody? Anybody remember what he said in after he created the earth and everything that was in it? Okay, I'm going to unmute you, Sharon. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I missed your beginning. Go ahead.
He wanted us to be fruitful and to multiply once he made Adam and then had Eve, and that's what we were supposed to do. And, well, in the first one, it does say he brought forth the grass and the herbs and whatever, and the evening and the morning, but he did want us to replenish whatever and be fruitful.
To be fruitful and to multiply and to replenish the earth. So it was a case of...
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm finished. No, that was it.
Oh, okay, to take care of everything in the earth.
Right.
It's what he said. Now, then what happened after he did all that, just briefly, to catch up?
He formed a man, he formed Adam out of
okay.
dust from the ground.
Okay. You remember we had two creation stories?
Eve.
One. Go ahead.
Adam and Eve. Those
he
two.
Did Adam and Eve.
Right.
Anybody want to help her? Nobody. Okay, hold. I'm going to mute to Sharon and Kelly's going to. Go ahead, Kelly. Are you unmuted? Kelly?
Okay. So we learned that about the two creation stories, that the first one was in Genesis 1:26-27 when he created man, and then in chapter 2 where he formed man. So one is where he created, he spoke man into existence, and then the second one is when he actually formed the body of man and then breathed life into man, and then he became a living soul.
Okay, that was the two ways we learned, two ways that happened. And then what did humankind do? What happened to get us to Noah? I'm going to mute you back, Kelly, and anybody else? Why did God call on Noah? What did God ask Noah to do? Five stars, someone? Okay. Go ahead, Sharon.
He wanted Noah to make the ark.
Why?
Because Adam had ate that apple, number one, and he banished them.
What's the apple, Sharon?
No. Okay, I'm sorry. It was a fruit.
Okay.
We don't know what type of fruit it was, but we know the serpent enticed Eve, so Eve Adam. So they were actually banned out of the Garden of Eden. And then they had kids and Cain and Abel, and one of them, Cain killed Abel or vice versa. And then the next thing we knew, people were getting all out of hand, doing things that they weren't supposed to be doing. So he had Noah to build the ark and have all the animals, two by two, and some of them were seven. Different type. There were animals that were asked to bring seven of them, of each of them, but then the rest went two by two. And then the
okay.
rain came.
Okay, go ahead.
No away. Okay.
Now
that's all I can remember.
Well, that's good. That's very good. In fact, when you want to know about the animals that went in by sevens and some by twos, just always remember the seventh chapter of Genesis tells
right.
you that story. So you would be able to get it right. Because if you're going to tell it
right.
you know,
tell
biblically.
It right. Yeah. Don't differentiate from it.
Right. Don't make that fruit anything. Fruit gives you a lot of leeway. But anyway, thank you. I'm going to mute you back. And then
okay.
I want to just start at chapter 8. Okay, since we have a background of how we got here, because there's something a couple of things that's interesting in 8. And I didn't know that anybody read chapter 8 before we got here tonight. When we look at chapter 8 in Genesis, and I'm going to be using the King James Version, before I go into 8, I'm just going to read a little bit of the end of 7 at chapter 23. Not chapter 23, chapter 7, verse 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beasts and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, every man. All in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land died. Everything and everybody died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things, and the fowl of the heavens, and they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Now, write that down, 150 days, because you're going to see something that happens later, I believe. When we get to the beginning of chapter 8, this is interesting, and tell me what it sounds like to you. Beginning of chapter 8, first verse, and God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. What does that say to us? Anybody? I'm sorry. I'm coming. I can get so caught up on this when I'm reading it and what it says that I don't look at the screen all the time. But I'm here
well,
now.
My hand was not up for this question you just asked. What my hand was up is because I had written, and I know you asked me this before, I knew exactly where we stopped for the Thursday class and where we stopped with the Tuesday class. That's
and that
all.
Would have been 8-8?
For the Thursday class, we stopped at 8-11.
Okay.
And on the Tuesday class, we read all of 8.
Well,
we're refresher. We need the refresher.
Okay. Well, thank you, ma'am. Now, for this question, for that first verse, it says, and God remembered Noah and every living thing. And I that stopped me when I was studying this, because what is that saying? If I said, I remembered Sharon, what does it indicate? I remembered Cheryl. I remembered. I'm coming, Sharon.
There was something that you told us, and I can't remember exactly what you said or how you said it, but it was like it's a story, number one, and this is Genesis just telling them this. But we also knew about Noah somewhere else. So can you remember that? I don't know. Kelly may remember it, but it was something that you had said because of him remembering things, and we hadn't got to those things yet. Do you
okay.
remember that?
Somewhat.
Because
I
was like, well, how did he? Because we haven't got that far yet.
Yeah, but it's a story that's being told.
So, right. So we haven't really got to. He remembered it because it has already been told, but we haven't got there yet.
Okay, and he's telling us part of the story, the part we're in now, is
right.
when God remembers Noah.
Mm-hmm.
The point I wanted to make about this is, God called Noah to do something specific, right?
Right.
And then evidently, God went off and did some other stuff.
Right.
And forgot about whatever Noah was doing. And when it says God remembered him, it's sort of like if you want to think of it this way, and it's no disrespect for God, but God goes, I forgot I told him to build that boat and he's out there in the water somewhere. You know?
Yes.
When you I forgot I didn't get Sharon those papers that I wanted to get her today. You
mm-hmm.
know? Remember something that we were doing or was supposed to do. And God remembers every living thing and all the cattle, everything in the ark. And once he remembered it, he made a wind to pass over the earth and the water stopped. Once he remembered it. Now, what it made me think about is all the things we pray about and ask God to do and that. And we sit and we worry about the one thing. But to me, it's saying, whatever God guides you to do, he may forget it momentarily, but other things may have to happen for him to come back to us. Does that make sense?
To me, it does.
Okay. I want to mute you and come back to Kelly. Go ahead, Kelly.
Okay. Well, I have a different opinion of that. I'm not saying that that's not it, but my thought more so as I look at that word that God remembered was not so much that he forgot, but remembered is almost like I cared. You know, his thought to remember is to recall something. So to put it, you know, like, yes, we know that God is all-knowing, but, you know, he's doing different things. So to say remembered, he recalled or he cared. He came back to, you know, the forefront of his mind, not that he actually forgot. And then what's interesting is that I looked up the word
Asaj, and it says
to make an unpleasant feeling less intense. And it's just like, wow, to me that even goes up. It's like, you know, the caring aspect of, you know what, let me make this less intense for them. Let me make it, you know, not so difficult.
Okay. And basically basically he's saying that he remembers and then he has the waters to rescind. And the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. And the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually and after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. It took 150 days that Noah and his family was in the ark. And then it says, the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. Now that's 3 months from 7 to the 10th. In the 10th month on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. While I was reading this, I was thinking we're going back to studying on the tenth month. So anyway, he sent forth a raven, which went out to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Now, this is interesting, and I'm not quite sure how we take this. He sends a raven first, and the raven just flies around. He went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Doesn't say the raven came back. Doesn't say the raven landed anywhere. He just went and flew around until the waters dried up. And then it says also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her, pulled her unto him, into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. Now, I guess I wanted us to have the thought and think about how long it took for God to stop the waters, dry up the waters. And again, I was thinking in terms of prayer when we think we ask God for various things. And especially if God told you to do something, like build an ark and go get in it, and then you see all this water come. He hasn't told them what he's going to do. what he's going to do with the water, what is he going to do, how's he going to get rid of all this water he told him to build this boat for. Does it make you think about how we see God, or how if God tells us something, we think it ought to happen yesterday? Sometimes these stories are so we can understand and take the place of the person or the character Noah and his family. Any comments, any thoughts about that? Nobody thought about that? Okay. Here's one. Trying to, okay, go ahead.
No, I agree with what you're saying, and I was just thinking about it too as I was reading it, that there are times when God may instruct us to do something, or, you know, we feel led, or that, you know, it's from God to do something, but it's like we don't see any signs, like that this was the right thing, or we're waiting for this promise. And I was just even just imagining, first of all, the whole, the impact of just even building an ark, that in of itself, I would think would be very scary, or, you know, just a big thing. And so not only do you take this initiative to build an ark, then you've got the rain, you get all these animals, then you have the rain. Like every step, there was a different thing that was happening that could scare you, or that, you know, you could be worried, you know, full of worry or fear, but yet that rain was like God at work. It was actually him cleaning and getting rid of that which wasn't good. And sometimes when we look at rain or storms, we look at them as being turbulent or a problem, when in reality, sometimes it's just God cleaning up things in our life and in our environment.
I like that thought about it, because that's not just the rains, and that, but it's the various things, like you said, that happen in our lives. And we complain about the things that are happening because they're not always pleasant. But God, in fact, is making preparation for the good that we have asked for and that he's promised to provide. So the story has a lot of different meaning, and you don't hear of Noah complaining. But he says, I'm going to mute you back, Kelly, and then after I'll catch up in this other 7 days when he waits for the dove. Anybody else want to comment before we move from that? Okay, in the 14th verse, I'll go there. And in the second month of the 7th and 20th day of the month was the earth dry, and God spoke unto Noah. Now, did you notice that this is the first time that I saw, and I could be wrong, but since God gave him instructions to get into the ark, take everything into the ark, we don't see God speaking to him while they're in the ark, while the waters are over their head. And I had read a different, it may be in King James too, but when they build the ark, there was one window, and we assume that window was up top. I noticed when different ones drew their pictures that they were different. And also we had determined that there was a skin covering or something covering the entire ark so that it wouldn't get filled with water, because the water was above everything, above the ark. So the 15th verse, it says, and God spake unto Noah, saying, he told him when to go into the ark, and then he told him when to come out. But while he was in there, we don't have any indication that God was talking to him and telling him it was going to, everything was going to be all right. That's what we would have liked to have heard, while all those days, nights, months, and everything, the smells and that. So he tells him in that 16th verse, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wives and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee. He's saying, bring out everything that's living with you, of all the flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and do what? Be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. All right, Sharon, I'm going to open you in a second. Okay, go ahead, Sharon.
Okay, I was trying to find my notes, and we were talking about the raven and the dove. Well, when I looked up the raven, this is what I've been doing since I didn't know what you was talking about, but I was looking for this because I knew I had it. The raven is an unclean bird, a scavenger that feeds on the dead. And that's probably why the raven did not come back. And the dove, by it being a clean, returned each time until it could find the, because he bought a leaf back from off the olive tree. So the bird was not going to get its feet wet because he could not, but the raven could.
Okay, and that I believe is part of it, because you will see in a couple of more verses how after Noah gets landed and everything out of the ark, then Noah does, I'm sorry, what were you saying?
No, I was listening to you.
Oh, okay.
I didn't say anything.
Noah builds an altar and sacrifices everything that's clean unto the Lord. So I remember you did look that up, and that does, it does make sense when you think in terms of the difference of the two birds. That's what we had talked about before. So
okay.
I'm going to mute you back unless you have some more.
I just found it. That's all.
Okay.
I'm good.
All right, mute you back. Okay, the one I wanted to impress upon us again, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. What has God said from day one? Be fruitful, multiply, take care of the earth. And Noah went forth and his sons and his wives and his sons' wives with them. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kind, went forth out of the ark. And here Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Now, it's kind of interesting, because that tradition had been passed on somewhere back in the beginning when the people were created, that they offered burnt offerings, but only, remember Cain and Abel, why one died? Because he felt like his offering wasn't as accepted, so he was going to get rid of his brother and his offering. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, he didn't say it to Noah, he didn't say it to anybody else, somebody heard it, in his heart, he says, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. What he's actually saying to us, he's not going to do that totally again. He's not going to destroy all humankind. So those who say he will, this says he's not going to. He's not going to destroy the entire earth. But because the imagination of humankind's heart, he said, is evil from birth, it's like it can only think of evil to do or to retaliate. When you look at the things in our society today and we see how people mistreat one another and the things they do, God doesn't have to do anything to destroy the earth. We're doing it ourselves. Even when we look at climate change and all of that, the kids in that can't breathe. Humans can't breathe. I have been at the clinic a couple of days in a row, and I watch and I see the various people with the various struggles. And I think about how the things we do causes some of our grief personally, some of our illnesses, because we don't value the earth that God has given us charge over. Now, when we look at the first verse in Genesis 9, and I want us to focus on that this time, the next few weeks. It says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, Be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moveth on upon the earth and upon all the fish of the sea. And into your hand are they delivered." I'd like for each of us to comment on that multiply, being fruitful, and replenishing the earth. What does it mean to you individually as you hear those words, as you want to draw closer to God and understand what he requires of us? What would you say it calls you into being or doing? Anyone? Don't everybody answer at once. Sure, you've been a little quiet tonight. I'm not going to force you, though. Okay, go ahead, Kelly.
I just want to make sure I understand what you're asking. So are you saying, what does that verse mean?
No, I'm asking you to say, what does it mean to you? You're reading the Bible. You want to be close to God. And instead of going out and buying that other book that says The Purpose-Driven Life,
okay,
explore this scripture. And what does it mean for you to be fruitful? What does it mean for you to multiply and to replenish the earth? Because he's actually telling us, if we, like Noah, he told his son, and this goes all the way through scripture, once we do that, he says, everything on the earth will fear you. They'll be in fear. They'll serve you. All that moves on the earth, all the fish,
mm-hmm,
everything is delivered into your hands. So what does it mean to you as an individual? I'm a mutual Kelly. And come back. Oh, you have your answer? Okay, Sharon, let's listen to her answer, then I'll get yours.
Okay, so my answer on that is to be fruitful. To me, that means to produce. It's like, what am I going to produce? To be full of fruit, meaning that based on what I've learned of God and his word, that I should be producing that type of fruit. And then to multiply is to grow. So I feel like not only work just to grow as an individual, but also that I am supposed to share God's word with others, and that also would help to grow and to replenish the earth.
So you're combining replenish and multiply?
Well, replenish is to replace.
Mm-hmm.
That which is gone. So, you know, I'm not 100% about the replenish part, but it could mean for me, anyway, is to when you say replenish, is to replace. And so there are certain things I feel like the earth or people have replaced God with. And so if I am being fruitful according to his word, and doing what he's called me to do, then I will change that. Then I would replace. Those things would be replaced with God.
Okay.
That's my opinion. That's for me.
Okay. I'm going to mute you, Matt. I'm going to share. Give me a minute. I did something wrong. Okay, Sharon.
Okay. For me.
I don't hear you.
Okay, for me it would be to replenish from whatever we took from the earth, to replenish it so it could keep reproducing over and over again. Because when we have food, when we plant food, after we have harvested, then we replant it again so it continuously grows. And to multiply, well, I just feel like could have kids or whatever, that's multiplying in one way. I mean, well, that's multiply. And
go ahead.
Well, that is just another way of being useful to do the reproduction of replacing and replenishing the earth.
What are some of the things we need to replace?
Well, we have to continuously, you know, for our food, for us to, you know, to sustain, you know, our health and whatever, that's a definite thing that we have to reproduce.
Wow. What is it?
Replenish it. We have to replenish the earth.
Yeah, food is one. But you ever hear the scripture that whatsoever is of a good report, whatsoever is good, think on these things. There are other things besides our food and our clothing.
What
the principles, godly principles? Do you think that a perfect example? The other day, yesterday, it seemed like a long time ago. We were going to dinner, and Garland had his walker, and I had a cane. And we were going slow, and this young family, they had a boy and a girl. The boy was probably early teens, like 12, 13, and the girl might have been 10 or 11. And as we approached the door, the boy, he held the door open for us. Then the girl, we went inside the next set of doors. She had them held open. And we thanked them, and it was like I told the father, I said, you've done a really good job, and I thank you all. And because they were taught to have manners, to respect the elderly people or handicapped people, you know, there are things like that missing. It's like walk down the street or go to a mall and look at people, look at their faces and smile and say hello. And just watch how many people look away when they think you're looking at them. That's lost. That needs to be replenished. We need to multiply that. Pardon?
That's true. That's true. We had it a long time ago. But
right.
There are a few people on this earth right now, and I'm talking about from our culture, that actually will hold the door open and say thank you, or say you're welcome, or like open a door for you, or do, you know, a lot of things. And then there's some that I just totally lost. And
because
like,
there's
what happened?
What happened is children having children and not knowing how to raise them properly. That's one. Jails are overcrowded because people, one, may not have been raised right, may not have ever had the experience of someone doing something for someone else. When I was younger, before I was married, I used to do volunteer work. Even my siblings said to me, why are you volunteering? You should be somewhere where you get money. But I already had a job, but I was volunteering because there was nobody to come to see the little kids and stuff. And your heart. Go ahead.
It's just like people are so cold nowadays. You know,
okay, you can fault the parent, but the child that has the child, wasn't somewhere along the line there was someone that taught, because even in my situation, I was taught from my great-grandmother down to my grandmother to my mother to myself, and now my granddaughter and my great-granddaughter, I mean, they have manners because that's what they have been taught from the time that they were able to open their eyes and say something. They know when to talk, when not to talk. I mean, you know for a fact, when we went to church, we just sat there. We were almost scared to breathe.
Now, right. Hold your thought. And
going to church in shorts and halter tops, and it's like, well, didn't you look in the mirror before you left home? But like you were saying, it just seemed like somebody in that family would have taught them something about, and I really don't even want to think about the ones who don't even know Jesus Christ. I don't even want to think about the ones who have never even picked up a Bible. Because
well,
it just seems like there are so many out here who have not done that.
Okay, I want to get Kelly's comment, and then I'm going to make a comment, because these are the things that you can see that are missing in our society. You are to replenish and multiply these things, you know? It's not just our food. It's the things that we are supposed to share love, share various needs. I'm going to mute you for a minute, I think. And then, Kelly, are you open?
Yeah, I'm open.
Go ahead.
Well, I think that there's a lot of different factors, and it is not always necessarily family. It can start there, but everybody has so many different backgrounds and experiences that they have. So, you know, things sometimes they get lost, just like a lot of things get lost throughout generations. But I also think that part of it goes back to the whole thing with the fall and why God kind of started all over again. When there is sin in the world, there is sin in the world. And it affects people in a lot of different ways. So that's, I think, why we have the mission or the things that the Lord has charged us to do and to be. Like, we're supposed to be the salt, the light in this world, to help, not so much to condemn, but to help, because there are people that just truly don't know. So,
okay. I'm going to mute you back. And I want us to look at just the first part of chapter 9, and then we're going to get ready to close. In chapter 9, and I want us to try to meditate on this week. God tells him that everything will be fearful of humankind. And he says, everything that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green earth have I given you all things. Saying, I've given you everything you'll ever need, everything to eat, everything to accomplish things with. But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall you not eat. He's saying anything that has blood in it that's alive, you don't eat it. Surely your blood, this is really challenging, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it. And at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. He said we're responsible for each other. Simply put, it sounds complicated. Does anybody get that? We're responsible for each other. He says every man's brother will I require the life of man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require. I'd like for us to meditate on that this week. because he brings it closer in. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Is that not telling you how to treat other humankind? Because other humans are made in God's image? I want us just to read that over, maybe on a daily basis. Write, take notes of what comes to your mind when you read those verses, because we're going to end with the 1:7 again, and it says, and you, meaning each of us, meaning Noah at that moment, be ye fruitful and multiply and bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein. And he spoke unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you. Stop at 9. This week, multiply, yeah. Look at that. Meditate on it. Because he's giving us a covenant that's an agreement between God and man. What was given to Noah was given to us. What was given to Christ was given to us. Every covenant, what was given to Moses was given to us. We are inheritors. And remember what we learned about covenants and that before? That we're actually inheritors of the earth and to each other. Any questions before we get ready to close? Comments or questions? Cheryl, I'm glad you were here with us. I believe you have a lot that you can share. Don't be afraid of it, okay? Okay, I'm going to open Kelly. And Betty apologized for not being able to be with us tonight. And I want us to pray for Una also and her husband tonight. And Carol. Go ahead, Kelly. You're open.
I'm trying to find what I wanted to make a comment on. And it was when we talked about, oh gosh, where was it? Basically, it was the verses where he said that he would not do, or he would not destroy the earth anymore. But I just wanted to say that it basically it says that he wouldn't do it that way. Does not mean that he would not do it again, but that he wouldn't do it this way again.
Right. He's actually saying, I'm not going to destroy all humankind again. I'm not going to maybe, the way he did it, destroy all the earth.
Right.
There is a scripture that may come up later. I'm not sure if it's in Genesis or not, but it's where, what's his name, got the title of his book. The fire the next time.
Right,
and
right,
there is a
right.
belief that the next time God destroys will be by fire. But
right,
that can mean a whole lot of things that we're not
right.
totally aware
right.
of just right. yet. But uh-huh. if we pay attention, that just says time is up. If we pay attention to what he's saying, I mean, this has been eye-opening for me in a lot of different ways because it makes us more responsible for each other and the earth. It's not just somebody else's job to do it, but what has God gifted me with that I can do to increase, to multiply, to replenish? And when he makes a covenant, look for the covenant this week. Just read chapter 9 and see the covenant that he makes. Okay? Was that all you were going to say?
Yeah, that was all.
Anybody else with a question or a comment? I don't want you to be wondering about it during the week when you could get the answer or at least a comment tonight. No? Okay. Then what we will do is we will have a closing prayer. And Sharon, if I ask you to pray, would you feel put out? Five star? Did you hear me? Huh? Sharon?
I hear you.
Ann?
I hear you, but Kelly does it so nicely.
We can't always get Kelly, but we'll...
I love to hear her pray for us. I really did.
Oh, isn't that special? Okay, well, I'm going to let her do our closing prayer.
Thank you so much.
Just be prepared. Multiply. Replenish. Okay? I will close you and unmute Kelly. Kelly, you're elected.
That was a good move on your part, Miss Sharon.
But for all of those who wanted to be with us and weren't able to for various reasons, okay?
Okay, I didn't know if you had anybody else. I know you said Una.
Una, Betty, and anyone else I'm trying to think. Okay?
Okay. Okay, Father God, we thank you for meeting us here at this time, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness and your loving kindness towards us. I thank you for Mom, Reverend Abernathy. I thank you for Miss Cheryl. I thank you for Miss Sharon. I pray that even as we leave this line, Lord, that you would continue to open up your word to us, to help us to understand and to see how to apply it to our lives on a daily basis. We lift up Una to you, Lord, and we continue to pray for her healing. And Father God, and we pray for her family as well. We lift up Miss Betty to you and all those that wanted to be here that were unable to. Father God, we pray that you would draw all those by your Spirit who need to be here to study your word, who have a desire to study and to learn more of you. We thank you for this opportunity. We even thank you, Lord, for the technology that you have provided for us to study and to just even be in the comfort of our homes to learn more of you. We just thank you, Lord, for all that you do. We come against any issues that people may be experiencing, any sickness, any disease, any challenges that we may be facing. Father God, we give it to you, and we thank you, Lord, for we know that when we give it to you, that you are taking care of it. We pray for our families and our loved ones. You know all of the ins and outs. You know all of the situations and circumstances. And so we thank you in advance for deliverance. We thank you in advance for answered prayer. And we ask that you would just go with us between now and then, Lord. And we thank you in advance for meeting us here again next week. Lord, we love you and we lift up your name. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. And I forgot Francis, too. So we include her, add her. Okay. Well, thank you, ladies. I've enjoyed our time together, and God willing, we will meet again next week at this time. Now, if during the week you decide another day is better for you, we'll take a vote and see where we're going from here once we get started back, okay? All right. I say good night, and I love you all. Bye-bye.